Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thank you very much for that. Now, an Israeli airstrike on a school in a refugee camp in Gaza last night reportedly has killed at least 35 people, including 23 women and children. In a moment, we'll speak to Margaret Harris from the World Health Organization. But first, we're joined by the Palestinian ambassador to Ireland, Dr. Gilan Wapa Abdel Majid. And you're very welcome, ambassador, to the programme this evening. Can I ask you firstly
Thank you, sir.
Reaction to that attack on the UNRWA school in Gaza?
After 8 months, the international community failed to stop Israel. And who's paying the price for this? It's the Palestinian people. It's the failure of the international community to stop this vicious war against the Palestinians. It's the day after day, month after month, and the Palestinians are paying for this. It's unjustified. All what Israelis doing of killing the Palestinians, displacing them. Gaza is a place that Israel destroyed life-sustaining resources there. It's no place, no safe place in Gaza. And all the time repeating this, attacking UNRWA schools, shelters, places that where it's supposed that they told the people that this is safe. To be honest with you, since the 7th of October, there is no safe place in Gaza. And what we see now is beyond any imagination or expectation of such a breaching of international law.
Israel says that before the strike, the IDF took a number of steps to reduce the risk of harming uninvolved civilians, and that they are confident that there was an Hamas compound in the school. And we were speaking to an Israeli government spokesperson a short while ago, and he was saying that this is the Hamas playbook, that they use Palestinian civilians as human shields.
I mean, let me. Usually, I always try to be professional. I was on the radio, listening to that. And God be with you for these justifications, for these arguments. But anyway, I mean, all the time Israel find the excuse for the killing of the Palestinians. Gaza, and especially now, talking about the shelters, UNRWA, tents, camps. Thousands of people are concentrated in these places, in these areas. No way if you're targeted, like, you know, Hamas people, among the people who live in these camps, you will avoid innocent people to be killed.
I don't want
to give any justification.
Yeah, what responsibility do Hamas have here not to do that, not to place themselves in among civilians, packed civilians in places that civilians are trying to find shelter?
You know what, Sarah, since the 7th of October, Israel see all the Palestinians, the 2.3 million Palestinians live in Gaza as a Hamas people, as a targeted. I don't think that you can differentiate. It's between the people. It's the families. It's part of, like, you know, it's part of the fabricated population in Gaza. You can't just split, say, this is Hamas, this is Fatah, this is people in Gaza enduring this vicious war, this genocidal war since the 7th of October, and Israel doesn't differentiate between the Palestinians who live in Gaza, who live in Rafah. Hamas, Fatah targeted all the Palestinians are target for Hamas.
I understand that point. Now, Israel denies it, but I understand the point that you're making, and I understand there's obviously been this incredible, tragic death toll over the last 6 or 7 months. But my question is, would you call on Hamas not to do what it appears it has done in the past, which is to place itself in, or the allegation is to place itself in schools or hospitals or in among refugee camps to try and hide and get protection among civilians?
Listen, I mean, I don't want to put myself in such a situation and say that it's Hamas, it's Fatah, it's the Palestinian people. I mean, we, the majority of the Palestinians, choose to be in the direction of peace, in the path of peace with Israel. And even though, like, you know, Hamas decided it's part of the Palestinian faction, decided to take these actions at the beginning since the 7th of October, we repeated this, that we were against the killing of innocent people, taking hostages of innocent people. I mean, you cannot just continue, like, any justification is not acceptable from Israel talking about Hamas. We're talking about Palestinians. We're talking about the 2.3 million Palestinians who live in Gaza.
I cannot see
like this is Hamas, this is others. I see that there are Palestinians who are really suffering. Hamas, Israel is inside Gaza, attacking and killing the people in Gaza. Don't ask me about, like, this is Hamas. I don't know. Everybody's there is a target for Israel.
All right. I want to ask you about your meeting with the Taoiseach today in government buildings for the first time since Ireland recognised the state of Palestine. Can you tell me how was that meeting and what was said?
I was thrilled with this meeting. I was honoured. It's the first time to be welcomed at the government office, the Taoiseach's office, as the ambassador of the state of Palestine. That is a very significant day for, like, me as an ambassador, and for my people to be welcomed, like, in this building and meeting the Taoiseach. It was a warm welcome. We discussed over the situation in Gaza, and that the recognition of the state of Palestine, it's like the first step, and we need to continue to work to build this relation, this diplomatic relations with Ireland, as well as the Taoiseach, like talking about the communications of Ireland within the EU and within the international community to put an end to this suffering of the Palestinian people.
And speaking of the international community, we've got news today that Spain has now said it will also join the case that has been filed by South Africa at the International Court of Justice, which accuses Israel of violating its obligations under the Genocide Convention. Did you discuss that with Taoiseach Simon Harris today, or did you get any indication if and when Ireland would also join the case?
It was just like, you know, I read the news before the meeting. I just mentioned that. And we were talking about, like, you know, the more European countries to recognize the state of Palestine, it's the time for the EU as a political and economic bloc internationally has leverage to take action to stop this this war against the Palestinian people. We're talking about the more countries to come and to more countries to recognize the state of Palestine. So the leverage of the EU to be taken to put pressure over Israel to stop this war, this is the most important thing that we discussed during this meeting.
Can I ask you then about the ceasefire? Because what we're hearing today is that Hamas is now saying the Israeli proposal that it's got in writing differs from what was laid out by US President Joe Biden last week. And that Hamas is saying Israel is only interested in implementing the first stage of the proposal, that's the release of civilian hostages, including women, children and the elderly, but is avoiding committing to withdrawing from the Gaza Strip and ending the war. I wonder, what is your position on this? Do you believe that there should be a move toward a ceasefire, even if that commitment is not there from Israel to ending the war at this point?
You know what, I will tell you something. I mean, Hamas is involving in this negotiation, Egypt and Qatar mediating this. And I know that with sincere gratitude to both countries for mediating this. We heard this in the news as a representative of the Palestinian people. I heard this in the news, unfortunately, as everybody else heard about this. I know that at the beginning, Hamas welcomed this, this news that coming from President Biden. But it seems that the documents that they received is completely different. What for the Palestinian people, what's the most important thing is to end this war, to cease fire and end this war. Yes.
Right.
This is the most, and even for a normal Palestinian, they think the same.
All right. Ambassador Dr. Jilan Wapa Abdel Majid, thank you very much for joining us on the programme this evening. And we're joined now by Dr. Margaret Harris, who's a public health doctor with the World Health Organization. And you're very welcome, Dr. Harris, to the programme this evening. Can I ask you, firstly, for your reaction to, or the reaction of the World Health Organization to this latest Israeli attack on an UNRWA school in Gaza?
Every attack means more and more people who are severely injured and need medical care, and the health system's on its knees. It's very, very difficult for anyone to move around because no one is safe anywhere now in Gaza. And it's simply getting the supplies to the hospitals that are all overwhelmed. They're all reporting to us that they cannot deal with the people flooding in desperately in need of care.
I know that the border with Rafah has been closed since earlier in May, since Israel moved into Rafah. And we heard today from Médecins Sans Frontières how medical supplies are not now getting in because that border is closed. What is the reality of the situation on the ground, and what can we look forward to, if you forgive the phrase, over the next couple of weeks if the medical supplies that are needed do not get in?
Yeah, I think look forward to is not the phrase.
Expect, I suppose. Sorry, and excuse the phrase. Yes.
Yes. No. I understand it. It was, but if hostilities don't stop, if we don't get this ceasefire that the whole world is now begging for, we are simply going to see more and more and more people who should not die. We're seeing people who are crowded together, who've got no clean water, who are living with sewage flowing between their tents, who the place is covered in garbage, and they all are getting diarrhea. We know of at least 500,000 cases, but we know it's much more. Many people have hepatitis. They can't get to the hospital. People describe it as apocalyptic. I'm running out of words. It's already a horrific situation, and it will simply be more horrific.
I know that a United Nations report released Wednesday said that more than 1 million people in Gaza are expected to face death and starvation by mid-July in the absence of a cessation of hostilities and increased access for humanitarian aid. I know you said you're running out of words, but would you agree with that assessment, and what can be done?
Yes. Well, what can be done first is a ceasefire, to be serious about this. I mean, we've got most of the countries of the world demanding it, and yet we're not seeing it happen. It's madness to continue these hostilities. It's beyond madness. It means that we as humans have all failed if these hostilities continue. But yeah, we will see. We've got 1 million people crowded together who've moved from Rafah. There is no water. There is no food. The refeeding centres that we had set up have had to be closed because they had to move. Of the one refeeding centre we've got, we're seeing people come in and they are dying in our refeeding centres. And that's the people who've managed to get to some sort of health care. So what is happening in those tents? What is happening in those corridors of horror? I just can't even imagine.
And why are those people dying if they get to the tents? Is it that the malnutrition and the toll that has taken on their bodies has got to the point where there is no saving them? Okay, so yes. And is that what we are facing then on a very mass scale over the next couple of weeks, if nothing is done?
So for you and I, if we get diarrhea, it's not nice, but we get over it. We you know, take some fluids, we recover. But if you're already starving, if you're already exhausted, and especially if you're a little one, and most of the deaths we're seeing from malnutrition are children under 5, you're just not going to make it. You're going to die very, very quickly. So we said this a few months ago, that if the bombs and bullets don't get people, the diseases and starvation will. And horrifically, that prediction is coming true.
Can I just ask you finally, Dr. Harris, are WHO teams able to operate in Gaza on the ground at the moment?
We can. We've had our staff. We've only got 2 people in Rafah at the moment, and we couldn't even get hold of them today. We're in contact every day, but we couldn't get hold of them today. But most of our team have moved up to Deir al-Balah because of the danger in Rafah, and also because the people are there. So we are trying to do what we can where the people are. But there are still lots of people in Rafah, and there really is virtually no health care at all in Rafah now, even though there still are tens of thousands of very vulnerable people who simply couldn't move.
Dr. Margaret Harris, Public Health Doctor with the World Health Organization. Thank you very much.